morning, what I'd like to do is I want to thank you. And I know that Heather would say the same thing, Stephen, Carol. We want to thank you for all of your incredible support last year, your giving and all of that, and what a blessing it's been. And for you that are new to Calvary, maybe you're listening live right now, we have two works that God's called us to. Our global work is in Mexico and in Camargo. It's the orphanage that is there. And then our local work is Haltom Christian School. And what's exciting is that we get to speak into the lives of children, whether it's Mexico or right here, amen? And children are precious unto the Lord. Matter of fact, children are a reward from the Lord. They belong to Him. We're just stewards, amen? And so what a wonderful thing, knowing that new children will be coming this year here to Fort Worth, here to school, there in Mexico as well, and they get to see the great things that God is doing. Now, with all that being said, what we're going to do, we're going to begin this morning by lowering the screen. We're going to look at a video at Haltom Christian School on our local work. So let's let it come. It's already down. So let's listen. I didn't see you. It's not good to have you. I was anything but weak. Right now my struggle's all I see. But I'm not giving in. My story will not end in defeat. Cause nothing can stop an unstoppable God. He's not afraid of impossible odds. This is the promise that I'm standing on. Nothing can stop. Oh, Praise the Lord. That's what you call energy. Amen. If I had that kind of energy, well, never mind. You know, God is so good. I tell you, I don't know. Heather Gonzalez, the principal of Halton Christian School, I think she has more energy than was just given that we saw on the screen, because I've never seen anyone work as hard and as long and with her staff as she does. I'm very thankful for all that she's done here at Calvary. I know that the parents of the children, they are extremely blessed to see all that has been accomplished the last few years here and so forth. So listen, if you would you just give a warm welcome right now for Ms. Heather Gonzalez, of our principal here at Halton Christian School. The Lord bless you.
Good morning. It's an honor and a privilege to share with all of you another year of what God is doing through his work at Halton Christian School. At HCS, we are passionately committed to shaping hearts. God has built this school, a ministry, designed to give children hope and a future. The Lord has placed and entrusted the vision to build Halton Christian in the hearts of the people he has chosen and called to this place. As I've shared before, at the beginning of every school year, the Lord gives me a word to hold on to, a word that prepares my heart for the things to come in the new school year. Before school began, the word from the Lord for this year came from Nehemiah 2:18-20. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, "Let us rise up and build." Then they set their hands to this good work. Opposition quickly ensues, and Nehemiah answers his opponents by saying to them, "The God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build." The mission for the staff this year was to be prayed up and prepared to build. As I studied Nehemiah, the Lord laid on my heart to explore the word build in the Bible, and I was overwhelmed with where this word study took me. It took me straight back to year one in my life scripture. The word build appears in 1 Corinthians 3:10. As I reflected on this chapter, the Lord allowed me to uncover something so beautiful. Beginning at my life scripture in 1 Corinthians 3:6, each subsequent verse chronologically mirrored the events of the school as God has grown the work here at Halton. 2019, the Lord's work in my heart that he qualifies the called rather than calls the qualified. Our dedication to the Lord and our open doors, 8 hearts. Verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We must only be obedient unto the Lord with servant hearts, honor the labor, but only God can make the work grow. 2020, the year of the ark amidst the storm of COVID closures, the manifestation of our homeschool heart and parent partnership, the year of growth against all odds. Verse 7, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. A reminder that the Lord is working when we are not. We are only his vessels. The school belongs to none other than him. 2021, the year of co-laboring in unity for the hearts of children. Verse 8, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Parents and teachers coming together as one educator, capturing the Lord's vision of Halton's homeschool heart, training the minds and impacting the hearts of each and every precious child and their families. 2022, the year of being content in your present circumstance, the refinement of our team of mission-minded teachers. Verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. The Lord's evident hand of establishing, building the team of teachers that would be his hands and feet as we work with the Lord by sitting at his feet. 2023, we know who we are and whose we are and why we do what we do. Verse 10 says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. At HCS, we continue to look to our master builder, the Lord, the owner of the Blueprints of Haltom Christian School. As we enter 2024, a year of letting go and trusting God fully, His plans, His purpose, His way, I look to verse 11, and the cascade of truth from 1 Corinthians 3 continues, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." The Lord has established a strong foundation of Christ for our students here at HCS. He is the foundation, and He continues to build and shape the vision. While, for now, it has been determined that Haltom Christian School will be an elementary school serving students in pre-K through sixth grade, the teachers, the staff, and the parents will continue to serve the Lord together as we steadfastly seek Him and His will, faithfully firm up this foundation, and tenderly tend to this good work. Yet it is not only the foundation of the school that has been laid, for it is not an earthly foundation that we lay, but a spiritual one. At HCS, we are blessed to lay on every little heart a foundation of the truth of Jesus Christ. And to date, we have been a part of laying a Christ foundation in 70 hearts. Haltom Christian School is just the beginning stepping stone of giving children a future, the starting point. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." As I studied this verse, Strong's Concordance defines thoughts as an intention, plan, and interestingly, imagination. I'm excited to see what the Lord's thoughts are towards Haltom Christian School. Whatever they are, we know with certainty that His plans are higher than anything we can imagine. For our God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. He does marvelous and great things past finding out, and His wonders are without number. His care preserves our spirit, and the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. So may our hearts be filled with hope for the future as we continue to serve the Lord. May the Lord's will always be done at Haltom Christian School, and may Christ always be the foundation. Thank you.
God is good. Amen. You know what a wonderful work Haltom Christian School is, and the enthusiasm that is seen and so visible in the kids, how excited they are. They love to come to school. Isn't that wonderful? I didn't love to go to school. They love to come to school. And, you know, now that we're going to move on here, we're going to watch a video of the our global work at Haltom, Casa Hogar Camargo. And then we're going to welcome Pastor Steve up here, our missions pastor. But I want to say something before he arrives. And that is, once we left Reynosa, Casa Hogar there, the orphanage, the first one. And when the first time I walked through the orphanage in Camargo, it was years ago. I have never forgotten what I saw. The damage, it wasn't anyone's fault. It wasn't Pastor Luna's fault or Pastor Teresa's fault or any of that. It was just, there was no support. And the damage and holes in the wall, the plumbing not working, and the cartel had shot that place up. There was bullet holes everywhere. It was in such disrepair. And even the children's, there was no smiles on their faces. But you have watched over the years, Steve and Carol, the work that they're doing there at the orphanage. And it is like the orphanage has come out of death, amen, into an incredible life. It's like it's been reborn, and it's all because of what you've done. It's all because of Steve and Carol, their labor of love, working with those children. So watch this video, and then I'm going to come back up here and introduce Steve to you as we watch that. Amen. It blesses me to see happy children. Amen. And you know what? You're responsible. That's what you have done. So with all that being said, Steve, where's my brother at? Is he still here? There he is. Because they're going to catch a flight here and go back to Mexico later today. So let's give a warm welcome, shall we, to our missions pastor, Steve.
Good morning. So good to be back and see so many old faces. Not really. They're just not that good. It's also really good to see new faces. A very, very wise man once told me, and has told us often, we've seen it today, we've sang about it, and we just know, isn't God good? We are so thankful that God has given us an opportunity to work in the Camargo, Mexico, alongside with Pastor Luna and his wife Teresa at the orphanage, to be part of these children's lives and to share with them the love that God has for them and how he wants the best for them. The orphanage currently has 26 children, 4 babies under the age of 3, 5 boys under the age of 12, 11 girls under the age of 13, and 6 teenagers. Quite a handful. It's hard to tell children how loved and important they are to God when their short lives of 15 years or younger, that all they've ever been told and shown through actions and words is that they don't matter, that they're just a problem, they're just in the way of someone else's life. They're often neglected, abandoned, so that someone else, often their parents, can live their selfish life that they've chosen to live, which many times the kids just don't fit into, and they're just not included. These kids have often we found them on the streets, hungry, dirty, living in abandoned buildings, trying to make it on their own. So the challenge for Pastor Luna, Teresa, Carol, and I has been to show these children that there is a God that loves them so much that he's given his all to show them that they are important, that they're not just in the way, but that they do matter and that God really loves them and that God has a plan for them as he does for all of us. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, "For I know that the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for prosperity, not disaster, to give you a future and a hope." For a lot of these kids that have come to us at the orphanage, future and hope is not part of their lives or their thinking when they arrive. All they're thinking about is today, how they can get by. For the short lives that they've lived, and that all they've really known is disaster, neglect, abandonment. So building trust and confidence is not an easy thing, as we all know. These kids have had to make decisions on their own and don't like it when you tell them that what they think doesn't agree with what you're trying to tell them. In their own minds, they think, no one cares. No one's going to help me. So I have to do it on my own. I can't trust anyone. What you say and what you do doesn't really match up, and I'm not important to anyone. When kids are abandoned and left on their own, it's hard to build that trust back into them. I'd like to share a few photos of some of the kids of when they came and then after they've been there for a while. You can see fear and mistrust in their eyes in the first pictures. And then the second pictures hopefully are a little better here. These kids are 5 kids that came. There's actually 6 of them at the orphanage now. They were abandoned They were unbathed. They were hungry. They were scared, untrusting, and neglected. All but one of them had never been to school. These kids now are much happier. They participate in school events. They have security knowing that as siblings are all together and are being cared for and loved. They like to smile. These three sisters at the orphanage, they've been there for 6 months. These kids, they were found neglected, in poor condition. They were left at home, and many times they had been seen walking down a main street by themselves. That's how they were actually reported as walking down the street, and the authorities went and picked them up. Their skin and their scalps were very dry and scaly, and from not being bathed or washed. They were fearful, cried a lot, and were very reserved. Today, these little girls run around and just can't wait to be hugged. They always want to show you their toys and just how happy they are. These kids, Gracia and Brandon, they came to us in February. They came from a very difficult situation. Their mother was heavy into drugs, and they don't really know where their father is. They were scared when they came. They both had never been to school. The first week they went to school, they ran away. They were found that same day, but it took a while to build trust into them. And today, they are both doing very well. They participate in school events. They love reading and are very eager to learn. They always have a book in their hand. These other kids, three of them, they came to us 2 years ago. They were 7, 9, and 11 when they came. They were found in an abandoned house. They had no food, no water, and the oldest girl had never been to school and was already 11 years old. Today, they're very happy. They are loved. And they feel that they're in a safe place that they can call home. This is the picture of the kids coming home from school the first day of this year. They were just eager to get back to school the next day. At this point, I would like to say that Carol and I feel privileged that God has allowed us to be a part of this great work that we are doing in Camargo, Mexico. But we are most thankful for all of you who have responded to the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart and acting on what God wants you to do to be a part of this work. Your obedience to this work is what makes it all possible. These kids are living today with more trust, confidence, and knowing that they are loved because of your faithfulness to God in supporting the work. Through God's word, which, by the way, they are memorizing and putting God's word into their hearts, they now see that there is a hope and there is a future. They have memorized the Ten Commandments, the New Testament books, John 3:16, and they also have life verses such as Philippians 2:14 that tells them, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, and many more. They're also reading Bible stories about Adam and Eve, Moses, Noah, Samson, Peter, and Paul, and many more. We give thanks, and we are giving the kids the truth to think about instead of all the bad things that they've been through and the things that fill their minds. We're asking God to use us to help transform them by the renewing of their mind, so that they can see for themselves what God's will is for them, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. If it wasn't for your obedience and your faithfulness to God, this would not be possible. They now know that there is a church family behind us who cares for them very much and wants the best for them. A future and a hope and a trust in a saving relationship for their own that they have with God, who loves them more than they will ever know. It has been more than a privilege for Carol and I over the past 2.5 years to be the hands and the feet, the representatives of Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, and of God to these kids that we have come in contact with. We thank you, and we continue to ask you for your prayers and your support for these children, that they will all come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and see that God has a future and a hope for them. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. You're a blessing. Is he a blessing? Amen. God is so good. I'm going to be there in a moment, but turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. In just a few minutes, we'll be down at verse 15 or verse 25, rather. And, today is a very special day. We set this day, Missions Sunday, or Love Never Fails Sunday, aside every year. And we do so because we give thanks unto God for all he has done and using us to do his work. Amen? And God is faithful. The faithfulness of God is so overwhelming to me. All that he has done, his goodness, his grace, his love, his provision. God never fails his people. Did you know that? He'll never fail you. The Bible tells us in Psalm 115, verse 1, it says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not to us," amen to that, "but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness." And that's what God is. He is our faithful, or the faithful God. Amen? Now, more than that, the word future, say that word with me, future. Have you ever thought that that word is a beautiful word? I mean, to know that you have a future, you're sitting here, when you grow up in your life, you say, well, I'm going to be this, or I hope to be that, or whatnot. That's called thinking about the future, isn't it? Are y'all with me? Man, don't torture me this morning. I'm tired. Man, I need some strength, okay? No, listen, future is a beautiful word. You know, it's one thing to tell a child that, they don't have a real future. They may not even understand what's in front of them. But to tell them and go up to them and say, you know what? You have a future. And that's one thing to do it. But whenever you take a child out of whatever they're in and really give them a future, that changes everything, doesn't it? And that's a great thing. That's what we do. Listen, to see the joy in a child's eyes. And when we take them out of the horrible things that they're in, and all of a sudden now they're filled with love and peace and all the things that you see all those beautiful children, all those beautiful smiles. Well, you know what? Love Never Fails International, that's what they have done. And that's the umbrella that the school's under, the umbrella that our work in Mexico is under the charity. And so all these years, we give love and hope and a future to children because it's all about children. And for the last 32 years, you know what God has done? He's built a place called Calvary Chapel for the next generation. Amen? And boy, how wonderful God is. So today, again, Love Never Fails Sunday, or Mission Sunday, and that word future, Heather mentioned it, and of course Steve mentioned it. Now I'm going to mention it. It's one of the most, probably one of the most memorized scriptures in promises in the Bible, to be honest with you. Jeremiah 29:11. Let me read it to you again. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." That promise even though it's an Old Testament promise to the children of Israel, it was to Judah. They were in Babylonian captivity because they backslid. They walked away from the Lord, even though he begged them. Nebuchadnezzar came in 586 BC, leveled Jerusalem, and took Judah into captivity. And now they didn't have any hope. Now they didn't think that God even thought about them. And they were thinking that we don't look at us. Here we are, everything that we've ever had, our home, our land, our family, our money, whatever they had is now gone. And they're living in captivity. And they felt in their heart again that God had forgotten them. But God had not forgotten them. God will never forget you. Amen. No, his thoughts, he's thinking about you all the time. Precious are his thoughts. They're as much as the sand of the sea, the Bible tells us. So, loved one, listen, God is a God who, or the God who gives us a future. Amen? Just think, we have a future. If Jesus came today, ooh, we would be. And you were talking about a future, an eternal future at home in heaven where we are citizens forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Question. Did God, even though Judah was in captivity, Babylonian captivity, did God bring them out? Yes, they did. Remember, 70 years later, God says, now I'm moving you into the hope. I'm moving you into the future. And not all of the Jews went home from Babylon, but you know what? He did give them a future. They returned to Jerusalem. God can't lie, and he gives us a future as well. Are you at Luke's Gospel, chapter 10? Let's look at verse 25 together. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer. Now, a lawyer is an expert in the law of Moses. A certain lawyer, he stood up. And when it says he stood up, it means he's standing up publicly. He's going to test the Lord. Now watch him. So this expert, if you will, of the law, it says stood up and tested him, meaning Jesus. Would you say it would be a bad thing to test the ultimate expert in the law? Hello? And he said to Jesus, a teacher, he says, now what shall I do? How, you know, me, my flesh, how can I do something to inherit eternal life? Well, you can't inherit eternal life, can you? You have to be born from above. And he said to him, well, Jesus said, well, what's written in the law? What's your reading of it? Do you really understand the law? You're an expert in the law. And so he answered and he said, he's going to quote now the great commandment, which is one of the vision scriptures for this church. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind. And now the second part of the great commandment, although he leaves out a word there, he says, and your neighbor as yourself. It really should read, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? Amen. Now, so this expert in the law, he comes and he gives the right answer. But when he does, he doesn't really have commitment in his heart. In other words, he knows the word, but he doesn't live the word. Does that make sense? So he knows all the things he should say, the talk about what love really is, but he doesn't practice that love. And then that's almost like he didn't use the word and love your neighbor as yourself. Did you see that? He left that word love out. Now listen to me. That is a very important word because, see, the great commandment, everything, the word, the prophets, the law, they all hang on the great commandment, Jesus said. Amen? And so loving your neighbor as yourself means that you crawl inside that individual and you take up on the way he feels. You become, say, okay, I identify, man, with what you're going through. And so he said to him, Jesus said, well, you know what? You answered rightly. Do this. And you will live. So Jesus didn't condemn him or anything. He said, hey, that's right. But he, the expert in the law, he wanting to justify himself, meaning that his question to Jesus really wasn't sincere, okay? He says to Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Listen, I'm going to ask you a question now. Did that lawyer, the expert in the law, did he really need any more information? Did he need like a prophetic word to be giving unto him? No, he had all that he knew. He didn't need any fresh insight, and may I say we don't either. But here's the problem, is what he really wanted to know was this. How far does this obligation about loving my neighbor, I mean, come on, Jesus. I mean, what extent do I have to do those things? So look what Jesus does. And then Jesus said, or answered and said to him, now the parable of the Good Samaritan, you know it well. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and look what the thieves did to him. They stripped him of his clothing, they wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. In other words, literally, he was dying, okay? He was dying. Now, would you say that that guy's future looks pretty dim? Absolutely. But there is hope. Look what happened. And there by chance, a certain priest, remember a priest had to be a descendant of Aaron, so a certain priest came down the road. He was coming from the temple, his work duties were over, and he was going to go home, and he was coming down the road. And when he saw him, oh, his heart was broken, and he was filled with compassion. I'm sorry, that's not that version, is it? That was the other version. Here, he came down the road, and when he saw him, what did he do? He passed by on the other side. And it says, and likewise, a Levite. Remember the Levites? They were the ones who assisted the priest at the temple. He says, and when he arrived at that place, well, he came, he looked upon that wounded man, that half-dead man that was dying, and he passed on the other side as well. So here you have these two people, two men. They were up in the temple. Their time in the temple was now over. And they were of course, doing the incense and the bread and the daily prayers and all of the things and singing the psalms and whatnot. Now their time was up, and they were ready to go home. So you have two men representing God, representing all that God does and his love and so forth. And here they are, and what do? They walk on the other side of the road. They completely, you know, don't do a thing. And they leave the wounded man right there. And they knew to do something, but they didn't do it. And you know why they didn't do it? And you know why people today that go to church, I'm not condemning any other churches or anybody, we're giving people here. But religion can't do a thing. Religion helps no one. I'm a religious person. I know the Word of God. I memorize 66 books of the Bible. That's not good. So what? But do you do what it says in the 66 books of the Bible? Amen. Does that make a difference? Amen? And so, you know, religion is helpless. It's what we can call powerless so-called Christianity, because it's not at all. Religion loves to have the talk, but boy, they never want to do the walk, because see, they passed by that man. Why? Well, he was an inconvenience. I'm not going to mess with him. Gosh, if I tried to help somebody like that half dead, I'd probably end up getting sued. Now, they looked upon this man as an inconvenience, but they knew the Word of God, to love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen, Jesus then said, but, now there's a contrast, but a certain Samaritan. Now, were the Samaritans, did the Jews love the Samaritans? No, they despised the Samaritans, and not only that, they considered them equal with demons, okay? They cursed them publicly. They didn't want anything to do with them. So a certain Samaritan, now as he journeyed, he came where he was, that wounded man. And when he saw him, now listen, let's stop right there. Did the Samaritan know anything about that wounded man? Did he know how that really happened? I mean, did he know anything about his past? No, he didn't know anything. He saw a person that was dying on the road, and it says this, he had compassion on him. In other words, the Good Samaritan was about to give the future back to a man who had no future. Does that make sense? And so he went in, and look what he did. He bandaged up the wounds. He became the man's doctor, if you will, and pouring on the oil and the wine, and he set him on his own animal. And it says, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. He became his provider, his protector. And it says, and on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, that's 2 days' wages, that would probably pay about 24 days for the person to stay at the wounded man who was dying there at the inn. And he gave him to the innkeeper, and he said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. You're to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus was teaching him. Now listen, did you see what love did to his neighbor? It gave him back his future. He crawled inside another man that was wounded, that was hurting, and he treated himself as his own self as well. And Jesus said, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said to him, the expert in the law, the one who knew God's word, he said, go and do likewise. Loved one, listen to me this morning. Very short service. I'm not gonna keep you for another 2 hours, only an hour and a half. But I'm teasing. Listen, have you ever looked into the eyes of children that are hurting and that are hopeless? That's a terrible thing. It grieves me. It hurts me. I'm very tender to children. I told the early service, there's a photo, a large photo on the wall in the office if you walk down the hallway. And there's when I was in Mexico many, many years ago, before Reynosa, as we were looking for an orphanage, and I was in a taxi cab and going through this horrible section, and there was, I saw this little girl. She couldn't have been this tall, and her clothing was just full of rags. I mean, but she looked at me, and I was in the car, and she was in, I knew she was in poverty. She was all alone, and there was no one. It was just a place full of trash, and I know she was going through the food, or you trying to find scraps. But you know what I did? I didn't stop. Actually, the taxi driver would not let me stop. But I didn't stop. I just took a picture. And every time I walk down the hall and I see that little girl who's a poster child actually for the orphanages, I wonder if she made it. Because she was wounded, lying, standing in a dump, and she had no future. And I've always felt guilty that I didn't stop and just make the driver, the taxi cab driver, let me out. I take your money or something. Are y'all following me? You know, I felt horrible about that thing. But whenever you see yourself, if you crawl inside their skin, man, and have no hope, you maybe no parents, you have no one to go to, no one to turn to, and you don't trust anyone because everyone has always hurt you and taken advantage of you, and they know in their heart that they have no real future. How about the family that Steve was just talking about? There they were, wandering on the streets. You know, a car could hit them. They finally rescued them and so forth. I mean, think of if the cartel had gotten their hands on them. Are you following me? What the wickedness would have happened. You know, there's something about giving someone a future. Let me tell you something. You never forget the people who give you a future. In 1963, I was standing in a wall in the Fort Worth Police Department. I had on one pair of shoes, one pair of underwear, no socks, wearing a pair of shoes that were two sizes too small for me, and a shirt that had faded and was ripped. And as I stood there, Lieutenant Dickerson was the police officer who arrested me. And I knew I had no hope. I had no future anyway. I had no parents to take care of me. And he called my sister. She came down there, we didn't know each other very well then. And as I stood there, he said, if you don't take him, he's going to go to reform school. He has no place to go. And she said, I'll take him. Man, yes. Now listen to me. Had she not done that, what kind of future would I have had? Do you understand? Do you think I would be here today? No, I would not. But see, she gave me a future and had no idea what God was going to do with me. Are you following me? See, you don't know what's going to happen with these children. No matter whether it's Haltom Christian School, they're stepping stones, the teachers, you give them a future because you speak into their lives. The same thing at the orphanage is when you do those things, you take them, they have no future, and you give them a future. Just imagine those little children right now. There they are on the side of the road, and DIF, you know, they pick them up, and guess they take them to Camargo, and guess what happens when they get to Camargo? They now, because of you and because of your giving and your support and because Steve and Carol are there, you just gave those children a future. Do you understand? Do you know what it's like? I mean, to put on clean clothes as a child when you didn't. When my sister took me in, listen to me now. She bought me five pair of 501s, the real ones. No. I mean real Levi's. You know, back then you had to soak them in the tub. And you know why you soaked them in the tub? You don't know? They had to shrink. Man, and I had new shoes. I had new underwear. I had new socks. I had new shirts. Did you know I polished my shoes every day? Man, I never had a shirt that had a crease on it. My sister ironed that shirt. I said, oh, my God, what is that? I mean, and then I started saying, I look good. Do you understand? Everything changes when you're given a future. And that's what it's all about. Listen, over 20 years ago, there in the upper room, that's what I call it now, the media room, that used to be my office. That's where the Holy Spirit spoke to me and gave me the foundational scripture for Love Never Fails International, our charity. I had no idea God wanted to have a charity. I don't know anything about starting a charity, but God does, amen? And he gave me this scripture, Proverbs 19:17. He who has pity on the poor. The word pity doesn't mean you feel sorry for them. It means it's not a hand out, it's a hand up, giving someone a future. Does that make sense? He who hath pity, God says, on the poor, lendeth unto God, and listen to what God said he would do. He says, lendeth unto God. In other words, you give a loan to God. God says, if you'll give me a loan, he goes and he says, and I will pay back what you have given. Do you believe that scripture? No, come on, church. Do you really believe that scripture? Do you believe that promise from God? God says, listen to me now. You want to make a great investment? Here's the deal. You take care of the little ones. You have pity upon the little children, the poor. You lend to God then. You lend to me. And then God says, I'll pay back what's been given. And immediately when you claim a promise like that, you go, okay, you start defining how he's going to give it back to you. Don't do that. God's definition of giving back to you is better than you can ever imagine. Amen? Yeah, that's right. And so that's why that is so important. The Bible tells us about helping poor, the children and whatnot. It says in Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will not lack. Do you believe that scripture? I believe it. And it says, but he who hides his eyes, you're going to have many curses. Proverbs 21:13. Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. How do you look when you give? Especially today, this is Mission Sunday, Love Never Fails Sunday. Whenever you write out a check or you reach in your wallet that you left at home, you know, and come on. No, listen, you know, I know that any time, do I ever talk about money here? No. Okay, come on, so lighten up. In over 30 years, have you ever heard me beg for money? No. Have I ever made anyone in this church over 30 years, 32 years, have I ever made anyone feel guilty for not giving? No. Three of you? No. Now, when I come to tithes and offerings and giving in the Bible, do I teach it? Yeah. Yes. It's the Word of God. Do I believe in giving? You better believe I do. So you don't all of a sudden shut me down. First service, they didn't shut me down. But I can tell this service, you're kind of tightening the screws on me. Don't do that. No, listen. The offering you give, man, it does something. It does something. A little child is hungry. A little child doesn't have a place to stay. A little child has no one. A little child needs medical attention, whatever it might be. Whenever they need a safe place, they need a future. Well, that's what that offering is all about. And you say, oh, Bill, you're getting ready to lay it on us, aren't you? You're going to beg? I'm not begging, but I'll tell you what I am doing. I am the voice of the children, and you know that. That's the only time I ever ask for anything, because they can't help themselves. Amen? Someone has to say, will you help them? Will you support them again this year? Will you sacrifice today? That's what I'm asking you. If God leads you, will you sacrifice? What if he's, you know, $5? How about $10? Are you with me? You see what I'm getting at? And I'm going, oh, Lord, you know, listen. Do you believe that whenever you really give out of your heart, I mean, God loves a cheerful giver. I mean, he'll receive from a grouch, but he doesn't like to, you know, but he loves a cheerful giver. And, you know, I always tell, Pastor Chuck used to say, listen, if you can't give cheerfully to God, don't give at all. Amen? You know why? Because God says, okay, it doesn't help. You know, it's not going to work. Keep it. But if you can give cheerfully, he loves a cheerful giver. That doesn't mean he doesn't love someone who doesn't give. It means he just loves a cheerful giver. So when you give, something happens. You actually lay up treasure in eternity. Now, I don't understand all of that, but God says that you do. You remember the rich young ruler? And remember the Lord, he said, Lord, you know, what must I do? You know, da 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 da. And he goes, you know, well, keep the commandments. And he said, oh, I've kept all those commandments. And the Bible, Jesus goes, yeah, he looked at him after he said that and said, and loved him. I would have punched him. You know what I mean? And he says, okay, well, thou lackest one thing. You just lack one thing. Everything else you're doing right, but you just lack one thing. Go and sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and you will lay up treasure in heaven, and take up your cross and follow me. But the rich young ruler had great possessions, and when Jesus said that, he went away. He was sad and sorrowful, and he went away, and Jesus ran after him and said, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. And was that in the Bible? No. Jesus let him go. In other words, the great possessions were more important to him than helping anybody else. So he still lacketh one thing. So, loved one, listen to me this morning. I want you to give. I'm asking you to give. Not for me, not for Calvary Chapel. This is the Love Never Fails umbrella. This is Haltom Christian School. This is Camargo, our work in Mexico. 100%. 100% of what you give, not one penny goes to Calvary Chapel. None. It goes directly to where either Mexico, and it goes directly or to Haltom Christian School. Not one penny goes to Calvary at all. And so your 100% of your support goes to those organizations, if you will, or our mission work and so forth. And so don't look at what you give today as a loss. I hope you don't do that. I hope you look at it as a gain. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will not lack. He will not lack. Why don't you look at your gift that you're going to give today? Your offering. Why don't you look at it as a love offering? Because you're loving your neighbor as yourself. Amen? You're loving those that are bleeding and wounded and hurting and so forth, and you're going to help them. And if it's for Haltom Christian School, you know what you're doing? You're educating children. Man, what a great work. And you're helping pay for teachers and so forth. And that's very important. They have to live. You know that, don't you? Yes, and if it's going to be for Mexico, what does it mean? It means a warm bed. It means food in the stomach. It means a safe place. It means a place where they will be loved. And like Steve just told you, that where they teach them the Word of God, they're memorizing the Word of God, but they also have the greatest examples ever, and that is two people that love them, Steve and Carol Chavez. Amen? And what a glorious thing that is. So you give them a future. So the ushers, we want you to come down here, and let's start robbing the people. You know, and if they don't give, just hold it there over them. No, I'm joking. The Bible tells us in Luke 6:38, Jesus made a promise. He said this, Jesus said, give, and you'll never have anything left ever again. Is that what he said? No. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, running over into your bosom, with the measure you measure out, it will be measured back to you again. Do you believe that word? Amen. So you know what you're doing right now? You are giving a loan to God. This is exactly what you're doing. He says, he who hath pity upon the poor. Again, that's not the emotion of pity. That is doing something. You're giving actually a hand up. Amen? And it says, lendeth unto God, and God will repay what has been given. I tell you, there's not a greater promise in God's word. Amen? I want you to know that I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for your support for Steve and Carol and for Heather and her team. And I'm proud of you for what you're doing. I don't know, and I've been to a lot of different churches teaching. But this church, you guys, like Pastor Chuck always said, where God guides, he provides. Amen. But you guys you give. I'm so thankful for you. And I know you're not giving from, it's not by guilt, because I don't do that. It's not because I'm putting pressure, because I don't do that at all. Never have. It's because you love the Lord. It's because you know that you want to see more smiling faces up there. Amen. That's what it's all about. And I'm proud of you and I love you for it. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for this day. I thank you, Lord, for safe travels right now for all the board members that left earlier, Father, this morning. Just safe travels all the way home. I thank you, Father, for Steve and Carol, a perfect, absolutely perfect flight. The flight won't be late. They're going to fly home, and it'll be a safe travel all the way, Lord, all the way to their doorstep, all the way till they put a key in the door and open it and walk into their house. And, Father, I thank you for this church. They are givers, Lord. And I pray over their offering even now, that this offering of love, Father, this having pity upon the poor, that's what they've done. You promised that you would pay back what's been given. You know, Lord, when they need it back. You know how they need it back. You know when they need it back. I thank you that you're going to make that happen in their lives. We ask you to bless it now, Father, and receive it from our heart to your heart for the children. Lord, we love you. We give you praise, glory, and honor. Thank you for allowing us to participate in these two great works. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, amen. Let's